Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Hi there, thanks again for listening to Jesus Revealed. Now, as you will know, if you've been listening to this series at all, we have been working our way through and continue to work through the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, to see if there are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ that are hidden there. And, well, some of them are very obvious and self-evident. Others maybe seem a little more obscure. But when you then begin to pick away at them and look into the New Testament, I don't think that we're being too presumptuous or making assumptions to say that they're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm also conscious that so far we've really looked mainly at characters as opposed to events. And we're going to pick up on that and speak about some events as well as characters. Now, we have looked at some events. For instance, when we got to Genesis chapter 22 and we thought about Abraham and his son Isaac, we did think about the fact that there was a substitute there. And in Genesis chapter 22, we remembered that the ram became the substitute for Isaac and died in his place. And that was a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus, who is substituted, who has taken the place and paid the price. And we who come to know him can say, Christ died for me. Now, the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly, Christ died for sinners. And so we know that he took the place and he was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Today, we're going to continue with Moses, but we're going to think about some pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ that are seen within the lifetime of Moses. Now, Moses, he lived a long, long time ago, and he came onto the scene at the beginning of Exodus, and it's after the children of Israel, that nation, had been down in exile. They actually went down as a family in Genesis, and they come back up as a nation at the beginning of Exodus, and we've discovered Moses as a child. And some of the beautiful references in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, for instance, and Acts chapter 7, should I say, that actually highlight that Moses is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. Now, Exodus is the book of redemption, and God's chosen people are in hopeless bondage in the land of Egypt, and they have no power to deliver themselves. And we read in the early chapters of the book of Exodus that God said, I have seen the affliction of my people, I have heard their cry, I know their sorrows, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up into a good land. Find that in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And this is a beautiful picture of a soul who has been redeemed from bondage, the bondage of the world, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That would take us into verses such as Romans chapter 8, if I remember rightly. Now, God revealed the deliverer and the saviour, the leader of his people, to be Moses. Now, that's where he becomes a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. And we'll see that fulfilled again in another session when we look specifically at Deuteronomy chapter 18 and the likenesses of Moses to the Lord Jesus. But I want you to think today about the Passover. And you would need to turn with me to Exodus chapter 12 to do that. The Passover is a Jewish festival, but it goes back and it causes them to remember an event in their national history. It's a picture of the redemption, the deliverance that the Lord Jesus Christ brings to those who trust him. Now, the word Passover is a strange word, and it literally comes from the idea of the two words to pass over. And when you read in Exodus chapter 12, God says this to Moses, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God judged the Egyptian nation for refusing to let his people Israel go. and he sent them 10 plagues. And you'll read about those in great detail in these opening chapters of the book of Exodus. The final plague that God sent to them was the death of the firstborn, whether animal or human. The oldest child or animal in every house would be put to death. But God is a God of judgment and a God of mercy. We see that in the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. God will judge the world through his Son, but provide mercy and forgiveness of sins at the same time. So God does exactly the same when it comes to this occasion of judgment. So God tells them to take a lamb. He tells them to take the lamb and to observe that lamb. And let me read it to you at the beginning of Exodus. He says, take on the 10th day of the month, you shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of the fathers, a lamb for a house. And then it talks about if it's too little, then they can share it. And the lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You can take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you keep it until the 14th day. So they take it the 10th day, they keep it till the 14th day. So there's really those 3 complete days of observation. You know, the days of 11, 12 and 13. Maybe that is a picture of the Lord Jesus being observed in those 3 years of his public ministry, 3.5 years. So, you know, 3 to 4 years, 3 to 4 days in this time period. Maybe that is a picture of the fact that the Lord Jesus is described as the lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter says that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. John the Baptist preaches about Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So they were to watch that lamb and it was to be seen to be without blemish. It was to be a male and it was to be kept and they were to watch it. They were to observe it. And then they were to kill the lamb in the evening. Now, actually, I'm told that that expression originally means between the evenings. Now, that's very interesting because it was between 2 evenings that Jesus died. He was nailed to the cross in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, and he laid down his life, he gave his life 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was between the 2 evenings of the Passover, the actual fulfillment took place. Now you might at this stage be saying to me, why are you painting this picture and what authority do you have from the Bible to say Jesus is the Passover? Well, we have a very straightforward verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, and it says this within those verses, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So Jesus was pictured in the lamb that had no blemish, the lamb that was observed, the lamb that was to be killed. Again, think of what the Bible says in Exodus 12, verse 6. It should be killed in the evening. So this isn't a living lamb that is the means of the escape of these people from God's judgment, but it is a lamb that has died. The Lord Jesus is described as the lamb which has been freshly slain. The preachers in the early days of the church preached Christ and him crucified. Now, there are a lot of similarities here. The lamb was to be seen to be pure, and so they were to take it, observe it. The blood was going to be applied to the side posts of the door and the lintel. A great picture that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from every sin. It has to be applied in my life. I've got to put that into practice. I've got to trust the Lord Jesus for salvation. And then we're actually told in this passage that there wasn't to be any of the bones of the lamb broken. It says this in verse 46 of Exodus chapter 12. In one house shall it be eaten, and thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Now that was fulfilled in the life of Jesus. It says in John chapter 19, verse 36, that the scripture might be fulfilled, the bone of him shall not be broken. You know, that night in Egypt, amongst the nation of Israel, was a scary night. I can imagine a child saying, Dad, have you put the blood on the door? Have you put it on the lintel? Because God had said that he would judge that nation with the death of the firstborn child in every house, an act of judgment for rebellion against God. The wages of sin is always death. We can see that from the beginning of the Bible, and it runs right through even to our day. That night, God was going to send the angel of death. The Bible talks about the angel of death coming in judgment. And there was going to be the possibility that a child or the oldest person in each house, the firstborn, would die. But you see, the festival is called a Passover festival because God says if they had obeyed him, if a sacrifice had taken place, if blood had been shed, if blood had been applied, then God himself would protect. I read this lovely little thing in a book by a man called A.M. Hodkin, and he writes this. How does a mother bird protect her nest? Not by passing over it in the sense of passing it by, but by fluttering over it, spreading her wings in protection. Thus Jehovah himself preserved his people on that awful night when the destroyer was abroad in the land of Egypt. It was the Lord's command that the destroyer executed his judgment upon Egypt, because all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. But Jehovah himself stood on guard, as it were, at every blood-sprinkled door. He became their saviour. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, shed his blood so that we could be safe, so that we could have salvation, so that if we believe God's word, he gives to us eternal life and we will never perish. The Passover is a beautiful picture of Jesus revealed in the Old Testament. May God bless you through these thoughts today. Well, that was really good of you to listen to our podcast today. We hope you found it interesting. You can contact me on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk, or you can get to us through our email, stepcar61@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. Teaching truth without a twist through Seek the Truth Bible Media Podcast.